It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great MMA show. It's here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that MMA spot.
Hey, welcome back to the MMA show. We are picking up where we left off. If you missed last week's show, make sure you jump on. We're talking about trials and tribulations. We're hearing from Queen. She's telling her story about all the hardships she went through. And so we are going to continue with that show right now. When you're going through all the trials and tribulations, you cannot see him. And I know that for experience. And I know why people turn away from God. I felt that way. I hated him so much from all the pain I went through. I understand now why some people say that they're atheists. Truly, 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 I really don't believe deep down. They don't believe that God exists. I think deep down, they know there's a God that exists. But the pain is so strong. And it's hard for us to fathom a good God allowing bad things to happen. But that's what happened when the fall of man happened. Bad things are going to happen to us. Bad things happen to Jesus Christ himself. If Jesus Christ experienced people lying about him, put him to trial, beat him to unrecognizable human being, like they could not even recognize that was Jesus when he was beaten, put on a cross, then you can't tell me if Jesus had to go through that, you can't tell me that we're going to avoid that pain. Because even Jesus himself went through that. So God also has experienced the way the world is in a fallen world, the unperfect world. That's why he hates sin. He sees what sin does to people. He sees how Queen was hurt by her mom. That mom was gifted with a beautiful little girl. And the treasure that God gave her, she misused that treasure. And, you know, God is the only perfect parent that we have. And I love when she said, God is sufficient. Because even the Bible talks about God being sufficient for you, for me. And when you have nothing else but God, you have everything when you have God. So I'd like to ask you, Queen, how did you make this turning point? Everything was taken from you, but how did you get to where you are today? Like, where did the clouds start lifting and your vision started getting clear? Where was this transition? What started happening after all this stuff happened to you?
My daughter, who was 10 at the time, out of respect for the ears that are listening, she was saying her prayers and she kept asking God, what do I say to my mother? I wasn't bathing. I was praying for God to take me in my sleep. I was totally checked out. She kept hearing in her spirit, speak straight. My daughter literally came in the kitchen and cursed me out at 10 years old. And to give you a little bit of what she said, get the effing noodle out of your back. She said, you're always talking about God, then stand up like a woman of God because you forgot about me. That did it. I never looked back. So that gave me something to live for because I forgot about her. And I often wonder, is that why God gives us children? How many times will we have given up if it wasn't for children? Yeah. Even with what you experienced, Amber, that was surrounded by children, your trial and tribulation, that gave you the motivation to keep fighting. Sometimes we have to go through something to bring out the diamonds that are buried deep under the trash of life, you know, and you don't know how strong you are until you put in a situation where you have to be strong. Because I want to put this out there. I don't know how many of you all have done this, but I'm sure it's more than just a few. Oh, Lord, give me strength. The moment you ask for strength, you're asking for struggle.
Yes.
So
just like with patience, be careful with what you pray for.
So you want patience. So you're going to sit me in traffic knowing I have to get to this job interview to make this money to pay this light bill, you know? Yeah. So he tries you with what you need.
So that you grow. It's so, about yeah. growing.
Yeah, so that you grow, you know? If you have an ear to listen, you know? So my daughter quoted something I would tell her all the time. Mom, you always say you can go the easy way or the hard way. Well, you can bow down willingly or unwillingly, meaning you can bend your knee and get on that floor and submit and say your prayers, or he can bust you in your kneecaps and you going down anyway. So you can go down the easy way or the hard way, you know. So I personally feel that as women, we really ought to nurture and learn our value and how valuable we are to one another. That's something that I think that's important too, because we don't always have to feel like it's just us. You know, there are 8.5 million single moms, and there are women that are married that feel like single moms. We need to relate to one another, because sometimes the experience can't necessarily be described to a man. You can't describe to That's a man, right. what it's like to have a baby. You could tell him it hurts. This is what I feel like. But when you say labor pains, we get it. I mean, gotcha. So the point that I'm making, we can really relate to one another, and we really need to learn how to be sisters in Christ with one another. But if we can begin to not be superficial, if we can begin to not be judgmental, and if we could begin to learn how to honor one another's experiences. I heard Iyanla say this on her show on Fix My Life, and she said, what I eat doesn't send you to the washroom. So with that said, we have to learn how to honor and respect, because what I may experience, Amber may not experience. What Amber experiences, I may not experience or may not even be able to relate to. However, if we're respectful and honoring, that can create a sisterhood and a bond that I think we all can have, that can transcend race, ethnicity. Well, I go to the Church of God in Christ, or I'm a Muslim, or I'm a Christian, or I'm a this. Well, when you don't have a job and no food in the house and a man abandoned you or abused you, you will find that we have more in common than we have different.
Right.
So we need to begin to unite based on our similarities and stop spending time, wasting time arguing over what's different.
It's funny you say that, because in my Bible study, we were talking, it's going through obviously the Gospels, because we're learning about Jesus Christ in our Bible study. And the scripture that we were just doing in Bible study had to do with a good Samaritan. And it's about loving your neighbor. And Jesus was, they wanted to trick Jesus into finding a legitimate way to persecute him. But at the end of the day, they couldn't find anything legal, so they had to make up stuff about him. But one of the questions was like, what's the greatest commandment? And the answer was to love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If you sum up the Ten Commandments, it boils down to loving God and loving people. And when we hear about the Good Samaritan story, and it's kind of sad because a lot of people in the United States used to know fundamental Bible stories, like just regular David and Goliath and the Good Samaritan. So if you don't know what the Good Samaritan is, it was Jesus trying to teach people to be kind to one another. And so there was a man who was on this road, and he got jumped and he got beat up and he was lying half dead, and a priest walked by him, didn't help him, and a Levite who was also in God's work, you know, in the temple, walked by him, didn't help him. But a Samaritan who was hated, because this is a Jewish man that was beat up, The Samaritans were looked down on by the Jewish people, because they were like half Jews and half another culture. So they did not recognize these people. They looked down upon him. But it was this man, the Samaritan, that took pity on this Jewish man, cleaned up his wounds, and took him into a hotel and paid the innkeeper until he could get back and take care of him further. And God said, Jesus was asking, so who was the best neighbor out of that story? And the man said, the Samaritan. And that's correct. Because when you are down and out, it shouldn't be a divide about who your background is. If we're to be true to what God asks of us, it should be being kind and loving to one another, meeting a need where someone has a need and meeting it, and not just say, oh, I'll pray for you. I mean, do that too. But if you have the ability to do something other than just pray for them, then do that.
Absolutely.
So did people come to your aid after this conversation with your daughter and help you get through it? Or was people coming to your aid during the trial?
People were coming to my aid during the trial and tribulation, but it also caused me to be transparent and open up my mouth and say that I need help, because I had a bad habit of suffering in silence, because there's that image again of wanting to leave home and be an Academy Award winning actress and have the look of everything being okay when it really wasn't. So I was in a situation where I had to start opening up my mouth, and I had to let people in, and I had to be okay with saying, you know, I need a little help.
Did the privacy aspect come from the abuse part, or was it while you were going through stuff? Because obviously nobody wants all their stuff out there in the world. But did you, because everything that you do is for self-preservation. So we learn these skills. And for, you know, it is hard. It is so hard to ask for help. I'll be the first one to admit. No, asking for help is super, super, super hard. But did that self-preservation and privacy happen in childhood or as you grew?
I think that's an excellent question, because who's ever listening, is they may find this quite humorous. I think we've all come up in a home where what goes on in the house stays in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard Tyler Perry say, what goes on in the house stays in the house unless it's hurting me. You know, when you grow up with that kind of mindset, you learn to just keep quiet. You don't talk about what goes on in the house. But when you look at how that originated just culturally in terms of humanity, none of us feel like we have a safe place to fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are so judgmental and so superficial that at times that I didn't have food, I was afraid to ask because I didn't want people to think I was a bum. But when you have children, you have to put your pride in your back pocket and say, listen, I need some help. It's okay to need help.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me this one time. She said, baby, a strong woman needs help sometimes. And then my daughter said, help and assistance, those are two different things. You can help someone or you can give them a hand up. Assisting someone, a hand out and a hand up, those are two different things. That ego, so worried about you talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I had to help her with some food for her children, as though I'm a bum. You don't want to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, this is going to be a quite interesting dialogue between us two. Because think about this. You present yourself well, and people have an assumption that you have money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You go out and look like a bum or come out raggedy. That is terrible. Look at her. Shoes don't match, two different shoes. Why does she have holes in her clothes? So you're going to catch it either way. Mm-hmm. Why did she come out the house looking like that?
Mm-hmm.
But if I look presentable and ask you for help, in your mind, you have already assumed that I don't need anything.
Mm-hmm.
I asked someone for help one time, and I think I just needed $100. You have a $100 problem? So what she wasn't saying spoke louder than what she did say. Because of your perception of me, I couldn't have a $100 problem because you assumed. So what's the right way and what's the wrong way? Do I go out here and hold a sign and look like I need help? Or do I present myself in a dignified manner to represent the God we serve and just quietly ask you for help? You see what I'm saying? So it's a catch-22. How do we overcome that? I had to learn how to open up my mouth. So me being transparent, Amber, it helped a lot. I didn't care what people thought. You could think what you want to think. Because now, when you think about it, when you go through those dark moments, you want to die. You wish you were dead.
Mm-hmm.
You have thoughts of suicide. When you think about those moments In those moments, the only one that can get you through it is God. Mm-hmm. So when people are talking about you, it shouldn't matter, because the only person you need to be validated by is God. He has to be sufficient for all of that. So those dark moments, that helps you get strong in your area of not worrying about what people think. It took a long time for me. So I had to open up my mouth, and people helped me, but they helped me. They assisted me because they saw the work ethic. And I'll share some personal that many people don't know. A few people know. Now it'll be more than a few on this podcast. One of the salons I had, before I tell that story, the lady said to me, and I quote, "Queen, stop boxing God in." I'm like, "What do you mean?" She said, "Quit thinking that the only way he can bless you is money. You have to have money." So I'm looking at her crazy. I thought about it. It made a lot of sense. As I'm going through all of this trial and tribulation for the 10 years or so, one of the salons I had was $7,000 behind in debt. The owner forgave the debt. That's favor. Not only did he forgive the debt of $7,000, he gave me $2,500 to set up somewhere else a little less expensive. So you may have to work for something 20 years, but God's favor can get you there in 20 minutes. So that's what I'm learning, you know, and not missing the blessing because I'm expecting it to come from somebody else. If I say my prayers because I'm a black woman, doesn't mean my prayers are going to get answered by a black woman. You know how I know that? Because I met some woman some time ago, and I got a 5-day notice at this time, and I was about to be evicted. And I met the lady, and she's 6'2", white, with long blonde hair. We hang out. We look like frickin' frack. Totally opposite, right? I said, "I don't know what to do." I said, "So help us pack so we can get out of here." The next day, she goes to the management company and pays the $1,601 in full and didn't have to pay her back. That's a blessing. That's favor. So what if I would have said, "That white woman, she can't help me do nothing.
Yeah.
She don't understand me. I'm black. Hell, I
or
said my prayers."
Or start cussing her out. Yeah. Or, you know, giving her.
So why are you helping me? Because I'm the poor black girl? Yeah. What's the problem?
Exactly.
So all of that, you know, but I didn't want to miss what God had for me, you know. So hopefully that's something that can be taken on both sides. You know, I was driving in Chicago and I saw a man holding a sign all the time. And I didn't help him. I should have, but I wasn't there yet. You know, you have to spiritually mature. You got to grow.
Sure. It's
like the sun set and rising right. In degrees.
Sure.
So he has a sign. I'm in a Mustang. It's a 5-speed. The car's rolling back. It cut off. Guess who came to help me? He comes to the window and tells me I'm a mechanical genius. I started laughing. I'm like, "Boy, please." Next thing I know, he says, "Start the car." Pop the hood. Start the car. I said, "Thank you so much." That'll teach you something. So be careful who you entertain, because you could be entertaining an angel.
Unaware. Did you know that scripture?
Yes,
that's
come on.
That's in the Bible.
Think about it. So here I am judging. Mechanical genius. If you don't get out of my face, it's wintertime. Babies in the backseat. They're freezing. Gone somewhere nice. Pop the hood. Now start it up. Girl purring like a kitten and never cut off again. So that blew my mind, you know. So I think that on both sides, we can really be a little bit more open to how God answers our prayers with people that we don't expect to get a blessing from or favor from. Because God deals with the heart. He really could care less about what you call yourself, because you can call yourself a lot of things and have a husband and a boyfriend and in your word. You know, so I don't really impress. I guess I'm not as impressed by what people say more so than by what they do. You know, you can just watch. You can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. Just watch the deeds. Mm-hmm. That'll let you know. Because I'm always leery of people that everything that comes out of their mouth is a scripture. I'm leery of that. What are you hiding? Because in a world like this, we need to be transparent and let folks know, "Hey, Amber, I'm struggling today." You know, I was an alcoholic. when I was going through homelessness, being homeless for 4 years. Many people don't know this, so this is new information. It'll be in the book. Behind my head, boy, girl, it looked like a whole bar. Gallons of drinks. I was struggling. Mm-hmm. Had me a sip every time I would go to bed. I didn't want to think about anything. People didn't know that. You know? So, no judgment. Be patient with people, because we all got some skeletons in our closet. And if we can worry about our lives and not concentrate so much on what they're doing and not doing, and just be a safe place for people to fall. If you call me, Amber, and say you're struggling, my issue is smoking cigarettes or drinking, and I've been off of this for so long, but I'm having a moment. I shouldn't come at you. That's a shame. All the quoting scripture and talking about God. Come on now. Mm-hmm. You know? I'm a single woman, mm-hmm. but I'm a natural woman. But you can staple the Bible to my forehead. That ain't going to stop me from wanting to be with a man.
Right.
I'm just saying. Let's just keep it real. So if we can just be transparent, non-judgmental, good sisters, and a safe place for us to fall with one another, man, that'd be nice.
It's funny you say how you were leaning and were an alcoholic during all that time. All the loss I had with my miscarriages, especially the third one, just took me down. I had insight as to why people turn to substance, because in the corner, I always was leaning towards drinking during that time when I got super depressed and I had just lost my third baby. And drinking was just that urge that I wanted to go to. And it wasn't a thing I did, because everything about me wanted to just pick up a bottle and just drink myself to death. It was, I can now look back and say, it was the power of God that helped me not pick up that one bottle.
Yeah.
I couldn't have done it on my own.
Absolutely.
At the time, I just thought, I'm stronger than I thought I was. But it really, no. People turn to substance because they're in so much pain and they don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
They're so broken, and they don't see that God is there, even though he is. They can't see it, because God had placed me in a place where I needed to be. He placed me in a radio station full of nothing but people that would love me, a boss that understood that I needed time out when I was going through all the miscarriages. I made lifelong friends from our clients at the station. It was exactly where I needed to be. And I could see now every step of where God placed me was because he knew I was going to fall so hard. And I was going to be so heartbroken and so sad. And so I never understood before why people turn to substance. But now I have more of an understanding. Not that it's good. Not that I'm like, way to go. You made a good choice, because it's not a good choice. But at least I can understand.
And not judge.
Just the pain that grips your heart so much.
Yes.
And you don't know what else to do.
Because I think it's easier for people that have never experienced certain things. It's easier for people on the outside to say, I would never do that. But you've never been homeless. Mm. If that's the situation, mm-hmm. or not having anywhere to go, or, you know, so it's easy. Trials and tribulations manifest you. Hardships manifest who you really are. You know, who was that Fantasia that stole Similac to feed her children?
Right, right.
So why would you judge her? She wasn't stealing makeup at the Mac counter. Milk for her baby. So I would never do that. Well, you've never been in that situation before. The real you will come out, because I taught my children this. A drunk mouth speaks a sober mind. Watch drunk people. You want to know the truth about somebody? Get around somebody drunk. They'll tell it. So what I mean by that is when you're upset, when you're angry, how you really feel comes out. That's when you can begin to use the weakness you learn about somebody after they done made you mad and you want to throw it at them. Without mentioning this person's name publicly, it was a gentleman that I knew that had a child by his cousin. With that said, when we weren't friends anymore and the mean things that he said about me, I never said anything about what he told me. That's why It's not what goes in that defiles you. It's what comes out. I was bigger than that. He shared that with me in confidence. So when you learn people and their weaknesses, you don't take it and use it against them, you know? So, yeah.
I totally agree with you.
Well, thank you, Amber.
If you would sum up a thought to give someone hope today who is down and out, feels like they don't have anyone or anything, what would be your message to them at this moment?
The reward is not to the swift, the smart, or the strong. It's to the one that it can endure to the end. Whatever you make your mind up to do, make your mind up with the vision to see it to the end. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because usually you could be chipping away at the mountain and someone told you there's a pot of gold there. And you might have been chipping for 3 years. And the day you stopped chipping away, all you had to do was hit it one more time and there it was. Don't quit. See it all the way through. Be transparent. Be honest with yourself. Give yourself permission to be human, to cry, to let it out, and to be honest. That's very freeing. How are you today, Queen? Not good at all. It's rough. Don't ask if you don't want to know. But my advice would be to start turning the God you say you believe in into your best friend. Because I talk to him like I'm talking to you. Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? This is a true story to answer your question. I had a breakdown in the shower one day. I am crying my eyes out. I don't watch Joel Osteen. Nothing against Joel Osteen. He just happened to be on TV that day. Took my foot out the shower. Before I could say amen or thank you, God, Joel Osteen was answering the question. Leave yourself open to hear what he has to say. You don't try to figure it out. Begin to trust him. That's hard. That's why we go through this, because it strengthens our faith. Get somewhere and get quiet and ask yourself, like I've had to ask myself, how bad do you want it? What are you willing to give up to get it? Doesn't always have to be food. It could be gossip. It could be slander. Whatever you're doing is not right. Make a sacrifice. Give it up. Let them come in. But you got to make your mind up to see it to the end, because the moment you say you're going to do something, here comes Satan.
Right.
I'm going to fast. I'm not eating pizza for a whole week.
Yes.
Pizza Hut comes on. It's your favorite pizza. The first 25 people come, you get one free. You're like, whoop, start next week.
Right.
So the greater the champion, the greater the challenger. You are only as good as your opponent. So my advice to who's ever going through, along with myself, vision where you want to be, see it to the end, but trust God that you can get there. But be honest when you're not having a good day. You're fasting and you end up eating something. Don't beat yourself up. You fall down, you get up. You don't go grab a blanket and a pillow and take a nap. My godmother said it in these words, and then I'm off the air. You can bend, but don't break. Because sometimes if you break, you can't recover. Get the noodle out your back, said Rakiah. Stand up like the woman of God. Go through it with dignity, but hold on.
I love that. See, I told you she was going to be your best friend. I was not lying about that. Now, we were talking about substance abuse and dealing with hardship through, you know, turning to alcohol, turning to cigarettes, turning to drugs. We mentioned that. I want to encourage you. There's another outlet that I used when I was at my lowest and I was hurting. Mm-hmm. And I want to just encourage you, there's essential oils out there, and I will post a video in the show notes about emotions and oils and what you can do when you're going through the hardship. And it's just a tool. It's not going to cure you from whatever pain in your heart, but it's a tool that you can use. Just like when people grab alcohol, they use it as a tool. It's not a good tool, but that's what they're using it for. So these essential oils will be a tool that I use to help me get through the miscarriage the same weekend as my sister's wedding. And I'll post the video on there so you can see and get some help. But essential oils have been great, and I use Young Living essential oil. So that will be in the show notes. Well, thank you so much, Queen, for being on the program with us.
Thank you, Amber. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. But I would like to let you and everybody else know that's listening, we teach what we need to learn. I haven't mastered anything. We are all in this together.
I hope this has been a blessing to our listeners. I hope they find hope in it and that they know that they can overcome whatever obstacle is in their way at this moment. You know, remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you. Take care.